Good to be here this morning. I love the Sunday school lesson. It's just so powerful for me because it's that power that Jesus rose with that he left for, that he has left for us when we give our lives to him. We can be filled with that same power and we can be overcomers. And some of my messages connected with that. But before we get into that, I would just like to make one more announcement. Saturday night at the campout, I know I said a few things to Dave O about this, but Saturday night, I long for it to be a time of we just enjoy each other, we share freely with each other, whatever it is in our hearts, testimonies, and we have singing and special groups. And if you want to gather, get a group together, or if you want to do it with your family, it's a wonderful time to do it. So just an encouragement to prepare to give something Saturday night, and we can all just together enjoy each other and what God is doing in our lives. You know, I often, before I prepare for a message, I rehearse the week of all the different comments that were shared with me, with people, whether at jobs or on the phone with somebody. And often God will say to me, that comment or that what happened is what I want you to speak on. And he took me to my conversation that I had with a brother. And the brother was from out of state, and we were talking together. And we began talking about vision, about passion. And so as I was seeking God, he led me in that direction. The brother pointed out to me that often we become distracted and it begins to drain our passion for the gospel and blurs our vision for what God is calling us to in our own lives and what he's calling us to as we are involved in the Church of Jesus Christ. Took me to a passage in the New Testament, and it began, where I like to begin is there were a bunch of men. And they were just looking up and looking up and pointing, and their mouths were just hanging open, and they just kept gazing in wonder and amazement. And there were two angels or two men that looked at them, and they said, "You men of Israel, why do you just stand there and gaze? Jesus has just told you what you are to do, and he's going to come back just the way he left." And I'd like to turn to that passage in Acts chapter 1. It has a lot to do with Jesus resurrecting and then him leaving, and the message that he left to the disciples, and it's a message to us. And it's like he was telling me as I was looking at this that, am I just going to stand here and gaze with my mouth hanging open, or am I going to do what he's called me to do as a follower of Christ and as a believer? And if you look at verse 6 of chapter 1 of Acts, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And here's what I want you to, and when that power, you're experiencing that power of the Holy Ghost, then here's your call, I'm calling you to do. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the other uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. And there was such a powerful message in these next couple verses. It's kind of the need, I feel like, where we're at here at River of Life. And here, God just gave such a direct, powerful word to me as I was looking at this. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So they walked a whole day to get to where they wanted to go after Jesus left them with his physical presence, but his spirit was still there. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And I have to think that upper room was the last place where they had really had intimate fellowship with Jesus together as disciples. And I get the feeling that they wanted to experience that closeness once again that they experienced in that upper room. And maybe it wasn't the same, but it's an upper room, and it just, I'd like to think of that they were trying to once again experience Jesus' presence and the closeness that they felt. And so they went back up to the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued. And I love what happened next here. You know, they were just standing there gazing in wonder and I don't know if their mouth, but often our mouths hang open when we see something, and it was just like, are you just going to stand there with your mouth hanging open when I'm calling you to something, a great work? And so here they go, and the first course of action that they took blessed me. They went to the upper room where they had met Jesus before and where they had connection, intimate connection and fellowship with him. And it said they communed and prayed together and all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And it doesn't say how long they spent there, but it says, in those days, Peter stood up. I almost get the feeling they were there for a while. Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, and here's Peter. God was just anointing him, and he just stood up and began to lead out and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained the part of the ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst. And all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in their proper tongue. Boy, I didn't even study that word. Aseldama. And this is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained. So here they are, realizing that they must replace the one disciple that they lost. And so they go to prayer, and in one accord with one heart, they pour out before God in supplication and prayer together. And then they move forward to ordain Matthias, who was chosen. We'll just continue to read here. Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The powerful word that God spoke to me in all of this was, before they took any action, before they moved ahead, as Jesus had left them in his physical presence, but his Spirit and the Holy Ghost was upon them, and before they took any step forward, they spent time in prayer. They came together with one heart, and they bathed that whole need that they had of replacing Judas with prayer. And then they moved ahead, and I was so smitten by that. I just felt like, Lord, have I done that? Just bathe this whole thing in prayer, that we've been discussing ordination. And here is a direct word from the Lord. Before you take any action ever, bathe it in prayer. Do not take a step forward. I'm so blessed with that this morning as I think of that, and how God is just giving us such beautiful direction as we walk through this time together as a body. But going back to what the brother and I were sharing about vision and passion and distractions, God also, and the title of this message is called, I would like to title it, Prayer in Action. But going back to my conversation and then where God took me after that conversation is very much tied with what the disciples did here. They prayed and then they took action, and with confidence. They knew what they were to do, and I think God will do the same for us. He took me to the scripture in Luke. Chapter 24:51. No, not there. See if I can find it here. 10:40. And this just came to me so quickly. It says, but Martha, who was distracted, and we all know this story, but who was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, she came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And I love Jesus' response. And this is what he said also to the disciples when they asked him a question before he even gave them their calling. They said, are you going to restore again the kingdom of Israel? And then Jesus said, no, wait a minute. We're not here to talk about that. He said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But here's what you need to be doing. Don't get distracted from the call that I've placed on your life. Don't get distracted with this when there's something so much important that I want you to do. And so often, just like Martha, we are so distracted with all these little things, details of life, and they're not bad things, but they're things that pull us away from what God is calling us to. And we get so distracted that we never fulfill the call that God is speaking to us about. Martha says, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered basically the same way he did the disciples. He just said, but Jesus answered, and I love the way he said it. I can just hear him say it so compassionately. Martha, Martha. And just like he's saying to me, Jim, Jim, you can put your name in there. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And that's what he longed for the disciples, to choose that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The good part was her relationship with Jesus, devoted, committed to stay close to Jesus, and nothing was going to rob her relationship with Jesus. And that's really what it takes. And the way we keep that relationship tight with Jesus is that we spend time in communion and prayer and worship. And you know, it's interesting, if you go to Luke chapter 24, it talks about also another account there of how the disciples were standing there watching Jesus go up into the heaven, and it said that they left, and Luke says it differently. He says they rejoiced, they were full of joy, and they were praising and blessing God and blessing each other. But I get the feeling here that the first thing they did was pray, and then they went out and began worshiping and praising. So don't let the things of this life distract you to the point where you don't enjoy that good part, and that you don't forget the calling that God has placed on your life and on my life. That He's calling us that we would be witnesses. He's calling us that we would build the kingdom. And when we are building other things in our own empire, I mean, that's what it usually leads to. We lose vision and we lose direction. And our relationship begins to become weak with Jesus. And we lose our way. And I pray that doesn't happen here with us at River of Life. Because he's longing for us to be witnesses, and he has power available there for us to experience, that we can, with power, become his builders in his kingdom, and that we know exactly with confidence where he wants us to go. Prayer does not preclude action, and action does not dismiss prayer. Being and doing are very necessary for partnering with God's will in our lives. When I think of prayer and action, I cannot help but think of Nehemiah. And this is such a powerful, and we know this story, but it's such a powerful illustration of the way God wants us to fulfill our calling. and Nehemiah, he prayed, and then he tethered his heart together with his team, and they together put their trust in God, but they also assigned a guard 24/7 to watch out for attacks from the enemy. And I can just see that. In one hand, they had their sword, and in the other hand, they had their tool that they were working to build the wall, and they were watching. And Jesus said, be on guard. He told the disciples, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. And that's why we need to watch. We need to pray. We need to stay close to Jesus. We need to bathe everything we do in prayer before we step forward in the call that he has called us upon in our lives. Yes, there is an enemy out there, and we need to be on guard. The Word of God, our sword in one hand, and the message of the gospel going pouring forth from our lives. Yes, indeed, prayer empowers the person praying to be bold in the work of God. For me, it produces an inner resolve to serve as to the Lord. Prayer and watchfulness work together to accomplish the Almighty's purposes. And you know, that's what happened with Jesus. He was in prayer and he was watching. Those are words just before he went to the cross. And we've been studying that part in John. But I believe that's what empowered Jesus to fulfill the Almighty's purposes. And that was our salvation in giving his life. And God longs for that to be taken place in our hearts, that we would be bold in the work of God. And Jesus boldly went forth, although he struggled for a while, but it was prayer and watching and going forward. And the end result was that he fulfilled the purpose of God's will and our salvation. Prayer and watchfulness work together to accomplish the Almighty's purposes. I just want us to really think about that very carefully, because that's how Nehemiah built the wall, and that's how we can build the kingdom of God together. You know, I couldn't help but think of a story that I shared a long time ago, and I don't know why God brought it back to me, but it's a powerful story, and it's a story that made a tremendous impact on my life, on one man who was bold for God, but he didn't move forward until he prayed. It was late in the evening, and Peter Cartwright, who was an itinerant preacher, riding his horse, going from community to community, preaching the gospel with fire. And it was a Saturday night, and he was nowhere close to any Christian community anywhere. He said there wasn't a gospel or a minister to share the gospel within many, many miles, and he never was in this area before, so he had a lot of apprehension as he was riding his horse, and he prayed for a place to stay for the night. And up ahead, he saw a house that looked decent. He thought, maybe I could stay there. So he went to the house, and the caretaker, the landlord, came out that was taking care of the house, and Peter said, can I stay here for tonight? And the caretaker said, well, you can, but there is going to be a dance here tonight, and there will be some drinking, but we'll treat you right if you stay here. Well, he said, take care of my horse, and I'll be in. So he left his horse, go with the stable man, and then he went in. And he said it was nice. It was quiet, kind of dimly lit, but and there was just gobs of people sitting around. He said there didn't look like there was that much drinking, but he was wondering what is going to happen here tonight. He was thinking, you know, this would be a powerful place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It hit him so hard as he sat there, just as he made the resolve that if God gives him an opportunity to preach and evangelize in this, he said this is just a wide open house that needed Jesus. So as he came to that conclusion and resolve, here comes this beautiful red-headed young lady, gracefully walked up to him and curtsied and then offered her hand. And she said, will you dance with me? And Peter looked at her, and she was smiling beautifully, and he said, sure. So he got up. When I'm reading, I go, wait a minute, Peter. Well, hey, I mean, what are you doing here? He took her hand, and they walked out on the dance floor, and then he stopped, and the fiddler was just getting ready to play his music, and everybody was sitting there watching all of this. And here's just a beautiful example of the power of God and prayer, how it brings boldness, and how God gives direction. Because what Peter did next was so astounding to these people. As he was holding this lady's hand, he said, I never do anything like this unless I spend a moment, say a prayer. And he said, can we just all kneel? And he had his hand on this young lady and tried to pull her down to kneel, and she was just fighting him. So he said in his testimony, he said, I began to pray with all my heart, with all my soul. And he said, I just began praying for the power of God to come down. And he said, pretty soon some people ran out. They were scared. And the fiddler ran back to the kitchen and said, what's going on here? And then He said, I just kept praying. And he said, then I started singing a song. And then he said, I preached a little message. And then he said, and I just kept praying. And he said, the next thing I knew, the girl that was trying to dance with me was on the floor just weeping and crying and weeping and crying, begging for God's mercy in her life. And he said, all night long, God empowered me. He said, I prayed, I sang, and I preached all night long. He said, by morning, there were 32 converts that had given their lives to Christ. And he said, and I established, he said, and the next day, I stayed the whole day preaching and exhorting and instructing. And he said, before I left, he said, the landlord was the leader of the church, and there were 32 converts. And he said, and a church was established. But it's amazing to me the boldness that came on him, and as he was watching for a moment and praying that God would give him a power from above, and it came down. And it's just, that story made such an impact on me. You know, sometimes we're so timid and shy, and we don't have that power and that boldness, and God longs to give that to us. He told the disciples, he said, after this, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to be witnesses. And we know the stories of the disciples, the power that came down on those disciples. And when you read, first of all, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, you wonder how in the world they're going to go to the uttermost parts of the world. There was no jets. There was no way to travel. Yet somehow Thomas, he got all the way to India, and there he was preaching the gospel. They went all over, and it was the power of God, and it was prayer, and it was the Holy Ghost upon them. Prayer produces the right actions. Activities without insight from Almighty God can miss being the most effective. Those are not my words. Those are words that come from a Christian counselor that I was reading some of his counsel that he was giving. He goes on to say, beware of those who live frantic and faithless lives. Their problems need not become your crisis, lest ye are led astray. Pray for needy people and help them as the Spirit leads. Watch out for distractions. Watch out, because they can pull you away and dim your vision and your passion becomes weak for the gospel. Oh, that we could have passion as the disciples. They were driven by passion for serving Jesus. Oh, we could be a Mary who had the good part within her, a passion for Jesus. And because of that passion, she was motivated and driven with a vision in the same way with the disciples. And the Holy Spirit took them everywhere, empowering them with boldness what they needed. The Christian counselor goes on to say, just as a sailor on deck looks up to the captain on the bridge for a clearer view, so we are wise to peer into the Lord's perspective as our guide before moving forward. And that's really what the disciples were doing when they gathered together in that upper room. It was like they were trying to recapture, and they did, the presence and the power of Jesus by spending time together. And then they moved out in with vision, with one heart. Heaven's telescope of truth is able to focus in on what needs to happen on earth. When we seek wisdom from above, we better understand what to do below. Actions led by prayer get the best results. And then he goes on to ask the question, and I ask this question to myself. What are you facing that invites prayer and support from other saints of God? Whom can you summon into your confidence for comfort, love, and intercession? Signs of trouble aren't meant to be faced alone, but in the strength of the Spirit and undergirded by a caring church, a caring community. You may be used to assisting others, but now is your opportunity to receive. Believers are blessed when they can be a blessing to you. The body of Christ is healthy when it prays and acts in love toward one another. The body of Christ is healthy when it prays together and acts in love toward one another. You know, it took me to, and I'm going to conclude with this story from the Bible, a powerful story, again, of power and of boldness. And we talked about Peter today. He was that kind of guy, wasn't he? Just not afraid. He was bold. And here he is, anointed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and this is what happened. Acts 9, verse 40. So here is a lady, Lydia, that was a friend to all. She helped so many people, and she was just a wonderful Christian woman and ministering all the time to the needs of others. And here she is, she died. And so then if you read in verse 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, or Lydia, they're the same, while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, put them out, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. What a powerful story. And again, it was because of the passion, because of vision for building the kingdom of God, that God used Peter as a leader, and tremendous things. God used him tremendously, not only here, but at the day of Pentecost, and story after story in the book of Acts. But what I'm really want to leave you with is the power of praying together and the vision and the love and the passion that we can all together go forth from here with the vision to build the kingdom of God. And part of that is the ordination thing that we've been talking about. And before we take action, I think that we need to spend more time in prayer as a body, that God would give the clearness and the confidence that the disciples experienced as they moved forward and ordained Matthias. Do not lose the passion within you. I'm here this morning to encourage you to be passionate about your love for Jesus and your relationship. But that only comes as you spend time. As you spend time in worship, in praise. I mean, the disciples did it. And then spend time in the upper room and be close. Get close with Jesus every day. Constantly praying. Prayer and action. That's what God is calling us to, that our vision would not become dim, and that our passion to be builders in the kingdom of God would go forward. I'm just so burdened about the passionless world that we live in. I just sense it all around us. There's just so many churches that just go through the motions. But where's the passion? You know, Leonard Ravenhill has a powerful book out called Why Revival Tarries. And one of his main points in that book, how many of you read the book? Powerful book. If you have a chance to get a copy, I have one. If you want to borrow it, you can. But he says the reason why there's nothing happening, because he said there's no passion anymore and fire in the believers. It just seems like it's just ebbing away. And I really believe the enemy is at work today very much, especially in this evil time that we are living. The time we are living is not a good, there's not a lot of good things happening in our world, but there's good things happening among believers and churches. When there's passion, you see good things taking place. But there's a lot of churches that are just walking through this without any passion, and they're not going to make it, and we're not going to make it unless our passion is unless we're fired up within us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But I was just talking with a man as we were working, Chad and I, and he said, "Jim, what do you think?" He said, "Do you think we're in the last chapter?" He said, "I believe we are." He said, "It's evil." He said, "What we're living in right now is so evil, and we must be watchful." It's my own words there. Watchful and in prayer and guard against the evil forces that are out there. And we can, with the sword of the Spirit in one hand and prayer and the tools that God has given us, we can be overcomers and we can be passionate in our walk with Jesus every day. We don't have to succumb to the pressure that's on us right now as believers. And I believe the enemy is using this time, like And you might laugh at me as I say this, but just like the high gas prices, the horrible inflation, all these things pressuring us to go out and work, 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 so we can afford all this stuff. And in the midst of all of that, we lose our real calling and our vision that God is calling us to. And the passion just kind of, it's a distraction that this brother was talking about. And he said one encouraging thing to me. He said, but we will get through this, Jim. By the power of God, we can get through this. I was so encouraged with that. So you and I, we can get through this together, can't we? Can we? Amen. We can, because we have Jesus. We have that resurrection power that we were talking about this morning. We have that He's left with us, and we can be witnesses. But if we aren't witnesses first here at home in Jerusalem, how are we going to be witnesses out beyond? Lord God, I pray that you would continue to stoke a fire within us, and that we would not sit back idly and just be working to just survive, but Lord, that we would go beyond that, Lord, that we would experience your power and your passion and the fire that you give to us every day, Lord, that we could be overcomers and that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but we would share it in every situation. Give us boldness, Lord, as we pray and as we watch and as we fight for you, Father, Lord, that we can be victorious and overcomers in the name of Jesus. Amen.